skip the message because I know it's a controversial subject in the Christian world right now. And I almost chickened out, and then I kind of had a feeling the Lord was saying to me, that's the coward's way out. So I am approaching this not because I am excited about it, but because I feel like to avoid it is not to be honest as a pastor or honest as a Christian. So I'm going to go ahead and approach this subject. The title of my message is, Will That Leave a Mark? And this question actually comes from Taylor. Her question is it okay for a Christian to get tattoos if it's a Bible verse or a symbol of their faith? And there are a lot of different feelings on that. And as a parent, I have mixed feelings on that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'd like for you to turn to Leviticus chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 27 and 28. I include verse 27 because I want you to have some context to verse 28. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you will anoint me to speak your words to your people. I pray that you will direct and lead and guide our service today, and direct and lead and guide me as I speak to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you go ahead and play our video here. What else is there to say? I want to talk a little bit about Christian culture. To be honest with you, tattooing has never been an issue for me. I've never had a desire for a tattoo. So that's never been a part of that. I do have friends that have. I have friends that have tattoos, so I'm not upset about that. I grew up in the evangelical Christian world where tattooing was looked down upon very stringently by the evangelical Christian movement up until about the 1990s. And I want to give you a little bit about the history of that and why it came to be. World War II was one of the most dramatic changes in evangelical Christianity, probably in the last 100 years. Coming out of World War II, Christianity in the United States particularly took a dramatic change of direction. And there were several forces that were at work on evangelical Christianity during that period of time. Part of it was that there was a cultural unrest created primarily by changes in our culture due to World War II. Women came into the workforce in numbers that we had never seen before. It changed the dynamic of the American home. It changed the dynamic of a lot of things that we had traditionally known in culture. So our culture was shifting in ways that we had not understood, and that had impact upon the Christian church. Okay? It had an impact on the way we were dealing with things. And then the Korean War, with the rise in anti-military feelings that developed out of the Korean War, and then we fed right into the Vietnam War, and there were a lot of anti-military feelings that developed in our country as a result of both of those wars. And they generated a lot of cultural antipathy as groups within our culture struggled. And evangelical Christianity was caught up in the midst of those struggles. Just to be honest with you, we were involved in the very heart of what was going on. Following World War II, with the rise of the nation of Israel, there was a fascination on end times. Now, what does that have to do with tattooing? Well, I showed you a poster of a movie called A Thief in the Night, and that had a dramatic impact upon me as a young person in the early 1970s. It came out in 1972. I was just entering my teens, and I remember watching that film and being scared silly by it. One of the scenes in that film is where they are tattooing people with the mark of the beast. And the reason for that imagery was that during World War II in the prison camps, beginning in 1942, the Nazis tattooed the numbers on the forearms of the Jewish people particularly, but almost all people that were in prisoner of war camps ended up with a tattooed number on their wrist or on their arm, their forearm, identifying them as a prisoner and also telling the Nazis what place they were in the pecking order as far as execution went. Okay? So all of those images had a very negative impact on the way in which evangelicals viewed tattooing. Okay? So those are some of the things that you need to understand. The mark of the beast, a lot of evangelicals for a long time equated tattooing with the mark of the beast. We now know that it probably is going to be more like an electronic chip than a tattoo mark. But at that time, that was the guess that most of people were taking. And we always need to be careful of making our cultural assumptions reality. And that's a danger that we have. There was a fascination and a fear of technology. Evangelicals wanted to embrace technology, but they were fearful of what was happening with technology and the kinds of things that it was letting loose in the culture. And so those were fears that were a part of the evangelical community. There was a rise in Eastern religion and mysticism and occultism. And that was tied directly to the hippie movement or the countercultural movement of the late 60s and 70s. And so when you understand that a lot of evangelicals were very uncomfortable. Tattooing, when it reemerged in the United States, reemerged within the hippie community first. Okay? And so part of the reaction of the evangelical church during that period of time was a reaction against the hippie movement as well. Okay? Then there was, of course, the brutality of the identification marks during World War II that were tattooed onto the prisoners. And those were always things that were of a problem. And so all these things fed into evangelical feelings on this issue. That doesn't mean they're right, it just means that's why they happened and why evangelicals felt the way they did about these issues. Now, hopefully I have helped you understand that. Now I want to talk about what does the scripture that I just showed you really have to say. When we read that scripture, and there are many people who do, they talk about, well, you shouldn't do cuttings, and so piercings are out. Okay, any piercings are out, and you shouldn't do tattooing. Is that really what that scripture verse is saying? Would you take us back to the scripture verse for a moment? Is that really what that scripture verse is saying? A couple of things I want you to notice. First off, notice the passage or the scripture verse ahead of it. How many of the men wear long beards? How many of you wear the little curly cues down the side like the Hasidic Jews do when they leave their hair down and have long ponytails? And most Hasidic Jewish men do. And that's because they take this scripture verse very literally. So, unless you're with Duck Dynasty and you... The truth of the matter is that none of us follow that, and actually the Jewish people didn't follow this either. Why not? The other question is, what about all this cuttings and tattooing? I want you to notice a particular verse, for the dead, or a particular part of that verse, for the dead. If you were to go to the verse ahead of this, you would find a reference to divination. Okay? So when you put those two things together, what the writer here is talking about, Moses, is talking about the use of shaving the sides of the head or the top of the head, which was common in ancient cultures as a sign of devotion to a religious group or as a sign of mourning for the dead. The cuttings in the flesh were practiced as either worship of a divinity, and you can read about that in 1 Kings where it talks about Elijah and the prophets of Baal because the prophets of Baal cut themselves in worship to Baal. And the tattooing also had reference to practices of connection with religion and what they call totems. Totems are a physical rite that you perform, or a physical statue that you perform in order to have a magical outcome. A totem pole is a thing that is set up that is supposed to have spiritual energy, and by setting it up, you create a spiritual energy around yourself to protect you from something. Is that understood by everybody? Tattoos in many cultures, and particularly within the Egyptian culture, were used as totems. Okay? So they were used as magical spells, as it were, to protect the individual. Within the Egyptian culture, only women were tattooed unless you were a slave or a criminal. So Moses, coming out of the Egyptian culture, is looking at what is happening in the Egyptian culture. Okay? In the Egyptian culture, the tattoos were very clearly connected with the household gods and with protection against the problems of pregnancy and venereal disease. Okay? That shock everybody? And by the way, they have mummies of Egyptian women that are tattooed. Okay? I will not go into details about where the tattoos were located. But that is a part of the reality of the world that Moses was writing out of. So what he is saying is that tattooing, as a result of honoring the dead, or tattooing or cutting of the flesh in mourning for the dead, or shaving the head in mourning for the dead, or in honor of a pagan deity, or in a totem action to protect yourself magically, is wrong. Does that mean that all tattooing, piercing, and such behavior is morally wrong? No. That's why I said this message is not going to make anybody happy. Okay? But there are certain things that are happening in our culture that need to be addressed. Most ancient tattoos seen by Western Europeans were made by needle pricks. So the Egyptians, they took a needle, and then after they poked a little hole in the skin, they rubbed a soot mixture into it, or they mixed iron gall into an ink and rubbed that in. The iron gall gave kind of a reddish brown color. So that's the two differences. In the ancient country of India, they used henna, and the Celtic culture, they used wavoda, which is a type of flower that produces a blue ink. And those were basically the only colors available. The Inuit had discovered yellow, some type of yellow color. But those were the only colors really available for tattooing. Almost all cultures around the world tattoo. They have for thousands of years. In fact, the oldest tattooed person they found was called the Iceman in Italy. He is 5,000 plus years old, and he has tattoos which seem to have been involved in totem because they're placed over key joints in the body where it is known that he had arthritis. And so it's believed that they were used as a kind of a totem to try and ward off the effects of arthritis for this particular gentleman. But he was found in the Alps, frozen, and he was over 5,000 years old. So, and he was tattooed. So tattooing is a very common thing among many different cultures. And there are many different reasons why people are tattooed. Tattooing had kind of lost out in Western culture due to a number of reasons. The Roman military had become involved in tattooing quite a bit because of their relationship to the Parthian Empire. They had brought back a lot of concepts from Babylon and those kinds of areas on their trips and things, and with them had brought back tattooing from that part of the world, particularly tattooing for Mithras and other gods, and they would use the emblems in their tattoos. And so the Roman military was very much into tattooing. The Greeks were not so much into tattooing. The only people they tattooed generally were slaves and criminals. And so from the Greek worldview, it was like, if you're a slave or a criminal, we'll tattoo you. The Egyptians, like I said, women were the only ones who were tattooed within their culture for magical reasons. And that seems to have followed in many of the African cultures. In China, tattooing was primarily criminals and prostitutes. However, in Japan, tattooing took on a brand new height. Japan tattooing, it was actually an art form in the early part of this millennium, beginning about 200 AD. It had reached a high art form in Japan. It had also reached a high art form in the South Sea Islands, among the Maori tribe and among the Polynesian peoples. A very high art form in those cultures, and we'll talk a little bit about that. It had fallen out of use in Europe because by sticking a little pin in there, you can't get a very nice design. You can do some pretty big, ugly designs. And so there's not a real nice design. About the only people that were being tattooed in the Middle Ages in Europe were those who were going on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and they would get a cross tattooed on their hand as a sign that they had been on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So that was about the extent of a lot of tattooing in Europe during the Middle Ages, except among the pagan peoples to the north. Now, during the Renaissance, tattooing was passé because, after all, it was not elegant. That all changed in the late 1600s when William Dampier came back to England, bringing with him Prince Giglio, or Giglio. Prince Giglio was a Mario. He had very elaborate, very carefully crafted tattoos. He went on tour in Europe and became an immediate celebrity. Many of the upper crust, even the Prince of Wales, ended up having a tattoo done in the Marriott fashion. So that tells you a little bit about the impact or the changes that take place in cultures and why they happen, because people don't always understand that there are reasons why things happen. You can move to our next slide. Now, where did we get the word tattoo? Well, Captain Cook is the guy who gives us the word tattoo. In the late 1700s, he brought back a number of natives from Hawaii and other parts of the ancient world who were tattooed. And he had written in his journals that the natives called it tatwa or tata, and the word itself comes from a Polynesian word which means to tap or to strike, as to mark. And that's where the word tattoo comes from. It means to strike or to mark. And he brought back the instruments which were used in tattooing, which were different. The Japanese used a slightly altered instrument from what the Polynesian people used. The Japanese and the Thai people used a different instrument as well, and both of them achieved very, very fine detail work in their tattoos, and that was what impressed the Europeans. The sailors almost immediately in the mid-1700s began taking to tattoos because they took them as totems to protect them at sea, which was one of the most dangerous professions in that period of time. Miners, after they came back, they were in a dangerous profession, so they started doing tattoos on their arms as totems to protect them from mine collapse incidents. And so it spread throughout the working class culture of Europe during the late 1700s. You can move to our next slide. This is a Marari chief in 1784. And the implements below are actually the implements that are used by the Samoans to tattoo. They are quite painful, to be frankly honest with you, from what I've been reading. It was a tedious and dangerous process for a person to be tattooed. It took hours and hours of work because they would take that little tool, and depending on the size of the tool, and put it on your back, and it had a long handle on it, and strike it. And very often they would either paint your skin with wet ink and strike it so that it forced the ink in, or they would strike an area, they would mark out an area and strike it, and then they would rub ink into it. So those were how the tattoos were done. They were extremely painful to do. They were dangerous because you could develop sepsis from them without much, you know. They didn't clean instruments between people. So you could have septic problems real quick. Colors were limited, as I've already mentioned. So you were pretty limited in the palette that was available. It has always been expensive to get tattoos and always been dangerous and expensive to get them removed. And getting a tattoo removed requires right now laser removal. Is the best method they have. Before that, they sanded them off. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Other ways in which they tried was they injected you with pigeon dung. There are all kinds of interesting ways in which they've tried to remove tattoos, and believe me, lots of people have wanted to remove them. Later on in life. If a person was not a good tattooist, you could end up with severe scarring. You could also have an allergic reaction to the chemicals used in the process, the inks and things, and that could cause very serious scarring as well. You can move to our next slide. Professional tattooing in America started in 1847, excuse me. And it was popular among soldiers in the Civil War. On both sides, believe it or not, they were very popular. Most of the people practicing tattooing were Irish. Surprise, surprise. It led to an explosion in tattooing in the early 1900s when a man by the name of Samuel O'Reilly, and his picture is up there, adapted Edison's stencil pen to tattooing. And that's where the modern era of tattooing began. And that pen is still used to this day with minor modifications to it. It is still the instrument that is used for tattooing to this very day. It became very fashionable to be tattooed up until about the 1920s. When it fell out of fashion, and then became popular again in the 1940s during World War II, and then fell out of favor again in the 1950s because of its association with gangs and its association with hepatitis. You can move to our next slide. Tattooing had a resurgence in the 1970s. And the reason for that was that Japanese art forms started to become popular in the United States. And with that came tattooing, which is one of the high art forms of Japan. And because of that, tattooing moved out of primarily the military gang culture into the general culture of our culture. Of our country. And that's where most people who are involved in tattooing are involved in it primarily because of that change in the artwork that has become available since the 1970s. So that gives you a history of how tattooing came to this point. Let's talk about some principles. Here are some basic principles. If you're under 18, you should not be getting a tattoo unless you have your parents' permission and unless they've signed off on the design and the location of that, because you do not have all the faculties to be able to make a good decision about your future. Point blank. Number two, Christians should be careful about the message and the cultural meaning of tattoos. I watched a discussion between an older woman and a young man who had just had a very elaborate tattoo that went down around his hand and up around there. And he was, she was asking, well, why, what is your tattoo about? And he said, well, it tells a story. And she said, okay, what's the story? And he says, well, it's like this Hawaiian theme. And it became obvious he had no idea why he had gotten it. When it came down to the truth, the reason he'd gotten it is because he thought he would impress his girlfriend. Bad idea. Bad idea. Be careful about the message and the reason for getting a tattoo. Images that identify with paganism or identify with immoral ideas or activities or societies. There are certain tattoos that are identified with criminal behavior, particularly gangs. You should not be identifying yourself with those people. Tattoos of magic symbols or totems or magical purposes are not allowed to Christians. So if you're getting tattooed for a magical reason, don't do it. Tattoos of magic symbols, like I said, are out completely. Careful evaluation of the potential future ramifications of your tattoo. About 25% of the people who have tattoos regret they ever got them. They got them because they were inebriated and somebody dared them. Or they got them because it was a lark. Or they got them because, well, they wanted to impress a girl or a boy. Or they got them because it looked so cool at the time. But they have come to realize that it has limited their future, their tastes have changed, and perhaps their boyfriend or girlfriend has changed. And so that tattoo no longer has significance or meaning or reality in their life, and they just want to get rid of it, and they can't. I knew a young lady in California who had been involved in drugs and problems in that area. She'd been involved in promiscuity and prostitution, and she had been involved in gang activity. And she had tattooed herself as a kind of a gang wannabe kind of person. And she talked with Terry and I at length about her desire to get rid of these tattoos that limited her future and her hopes for herself and for her daughter. Be careful and think through this decision. There are future ramifications that you need to think about before you ever make this decision. Let's move to our final slide. So how do Christians that grew up in the evangelical culture where tattooing was terrible and evil, how do they deal with it? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us some advice in Romans chapter 14. He talks about the fact that as Christians, there are certain things in culture that don't really have moral significance, but they may have cultural significance. And that we as Christians may have strong feelings on those cultural issues. He said, respect the differences of point of view. Because that person lives or stands before Christ. They do not stand before me. I am not anyone's savior. I cannot save you. I cannot rescue you. I cannot change your circumstance. I cannot change your eternal destiny. Only Christ can do that. And so for me to judge you on a cultural issue is morally wrong. But then you have a responsibility to understand my conscience struggles as well. Because we're in this together as Christians. And there are things that we may not agree on culturally. But we are in this together. And Christ is the one who saves all of us. So we shouldn't violate anybody's conscience. And we should respect each other. And that's what God calls us to do. Let's bow our heads. I told you when I came to the end of it, nobody was going to be happy. It's real easy to say this is cut and dried on this side of the equation or that side, but when there aren't clear scriptural indications, then we have to leave room for the individual to make an interpretation. And we need to make those interpretations in the light of God's purpose, calling, and desire in our lives. And none of us are answerable to anyone but Christ on that issue. Okay? Lord Jesus, touch us. Help me, God, because there are times in my past when I have been judgmental toward people over cultural issues, that when I honestly looked at your word, God, I had absolutely no right to judge. And God, I stand before you realizing that I have been wrong and I need your help. Father, there have been other times when I've taken advantage of my freedom and I've trampled all over the conscience of other Christians. And I've done so with an attitude that is wrong and an attitude of arrogance. And I need your forgiveness on those points as well, God. I need your direction and your guidance. Because God, you are the only one who saves me. I cannot save myself. So Jesus, I ask you to save me. And I ask you to save every one of us. Would you stand with me? Lord Jesus, I pray if there is anyone here who has never accepted you as Lord and Savior, that today they will. And Lord, if there is someone whose heart is troubled by these matters, I pray that you will bring them to peace and rest. And God, help us as Christians to love one another. Praise your name, Jesus.